Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and if you haven't heard yet, after the marathon session of Wednesday night into last night, this morning, taking only a few minutes, the House Judiciary Committee approved the two articles of impeachment against President Trump, one for abuse of power, the other for obstruction of Congress. And now it moves to the floor of the full House to be voted up or down by every member of the House of Representatives next week. Joining me now to talk about the vote today, the White House's response. They've been tweeting up a record storm this week. And to take your calls is White House reporter for The Washington Post, Tolu Olorunipa. We are also opening up the phones to get your thoughts on this historic day and at this pivot point where it goes out of committee and onto the House floor. 212-433-WNYC. Impeachment open phones, 212-433-9692. Tolu is also a CNN political analyst. Tolu, thanks so much for joining us. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. It's good to be here.
Well, I'm going to ask you to put your political analyst hat on first. Did anybody win this week as far as you're saying, or is it just a draw with everybody as polarized and unchanged as they were sounding in the committee?
Well, everyone is definitely still polarized here in Washington when it comes to lawmakers. No one's mind was changed by the 14 hours of testimony yesterday, the tweets from the president, the weeks and weeks of private and public hearings. We have a situation where Democrats feel very strongly that the president committed impeachable offenses, and they just passed two articles of impeachment for a full House vote because they have the majority in the House. Republicans uniformly dismissed it and voted against these articles of impeachment. None of them were convinced that the president had committed impeachable offenses. So what we have after hours and hours of partisan squabbling is a major historic vote this morning to send the full articles of impeachment to the House floor, which they are very much expected to pass because Democrats have the majority in the House. And for the most part, they are uniform and unified with the idea of impeaching President Trump for his dealings with Ukraine, believing that he abused his power and obstructed Congress, while Republicans have been uniform in defending the president, saying he did nothing wrong and should not be impeached. So we do have history being made, but it's being made along party lines with both parties, both sets of lawmakers very firmly in their partisan camps, and no sign that that's going to change anytime soon.
And if it doesn't change, then the Republicans win. If win equals Trump is not removed from office, do the Democrats have any plan to try to change the political status quo?
Well, I think they're pretty clear about what the outcome is going to be in the Senate. But it is important to remember that for President Trump to be impeached is a major mark on his record. It's going to be something that goes down in the annals of history that's associated with his name as one of only three presidents to be impeached by the House of Representatives. You add Richard Nixon to that list, even though he resigned before he was formally impeached. And it's a very small group of people who sort of have that shameful scarlet letter attached to their presidencies. And President Trump personally doesn't want that. Democrats know that even though he will not be removed from office, this is something that is going to overshadow much of the 2020 campaign. And he's the first president in modern history to be impeached while running for re-election. And it really remains to be seen. I don't think anyone knows what the political impact is going to be. But Democrats believe that by making this case to the American people, delaying the vote, not having it last night, but having it this morning, while more people may have been watching TV, allows them to make a case that they'll be able to tell the American people that not only is President Trump guilty of impeachable crimes, but even if the Senate won't convict him, that voters should oust him from office because he's not fit to be president. So we'll have to wait a year to see sort of who wins in the end. But at least in terms of the short term, President Trump will be able to declare victory once this moves over to the Senate, even as Democrats are declaring victory about being able to pass articles of impeachment against the president for the first time in 20 years.
Mark in Maplewood, you're on WNYC with Tolu Olorunipa, White House correspondent for The Washington Post. Hi, Mark.
Hi, thank you very much. Knowing that there aren't enough senators to convict, is there any thought about, are there enough senators to rule against Mitch McConnell with respect to any decisions he makes on witnesses, or even to have Trump technically win only because while a majority of senators would convict, there aren't the two-thirds majority that would convict him?
Tolu, what do you think?
That's a really good question. I think that if you base it on what we've seen in the House, Republicans in the House at least are in lockstep with the president. They are voting almost uniformly to back him. Now, the Senate is seen as sort of a more deliberative body. There are several senators from states that they have to represent not only their districts, but also their states and a much more diverse electorate, which includes moderates and Democrats. So I think that may make it harder for Mitch McConnell to keep his caucus in check and make sure everyone is on board with the president's idea. We already have seen some Republicans say they don't want to call witnesses like Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and the whistleblower, even though President Trump has said that he wants to call those witnesses in addition to Adam Schiff. So there is a sense that Mitch McConnell may not be able to get 51 votes to support what the president has been calling for. But what we've heard from Mitch McConnell is he's trying to convince the White House that maybe it's not a good idea to have all these witnesses. Instead, maybe we should just have a short trial, have both sides present their case without witnesses, and then try to get a vote in favor of dismissing these articles of impeachment or acquitting the president. Whether or not there would be enough support for the idea of acquitting the president with more than 50 votes, that remains to be seen. You have to remember that right now Republicans have about 53 votes in the Senate. It would take three or four of those Republicans crossing over in order to get a majority and keeping all Democrats on board with the idea of impeaching. It would be a stain on the president's legacy if there was a majority vote that was in favor of ousting him from office, even if it didn't meet the two-thirds threshold to actually make that happen. But I think we're pretty far from that at this point with the evidence that's come out so far, because Republicans have sort of made their peace with what the president did and don't believe it's worthy of him being ousted from office, at least for the most part. So even if one or two Republicans break ranks, I don't know that we would see a 51-vote majority for ousting Trump from office. And if we did, it would be a major surprise. It'd be a big headline. And even though it would not have the force of law in terms of ousting Trump from office, it would be something that went down in history that showed that the majority of the House and the Senate voted to impeach and remove Trump from office. But I think we're pretty far from that at this point.
Amir in Queens, you're on WNYC. Amir, thanks for calling.
Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen, and happy holidays.
And to you.
Thank you. I'm calling because first I want to preface by saying I'm not a Trump supporter. I'm the farthest thing from a Trump supporter. I'm a socialist. But saying that, I feel that this entire impeachment a scandal and all these hearings and these trials is a little bit cathartic. And I say that because if he's going to get if we impeach him in the House and then the Senate just acquits him, what was the point of all this? I find it tiresome, really. I think we should be focusing on electing, I think Bernie Sanders or someone else that's a progressive in the general election instead of wasting all this time and energy and money on trying to get him impeached. And even if he did get impeached, then we're stuck with the Vice President Pence. So I really don't understand why this is happening.
Amir, thank you very much. Do you think, Tolu, that kind of to Amir's point, that the Democrats, when this Ukraine story first broke in September, actually thought for a moment that this could flip 20 Republicans in the Senate and have them remove Trump from office because the crime would be so clear in some way? Or was it only ever about the goals you were just laying out, which is diminish him by embarrassing him through a majority potentially of people thinking he deserves impeachment?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think Democrats were unsure at the beginning of this process. So much information has come out since the process started that they didn't know where this was going to lead. They didn't know what the witnesses were going to say. They didn't know how many witnesses they were going to even be able to get. At the beginning of this process, President Trump basically said that I'm not cooperating, I'm not going to hand over the whistleblower report at all. He had a complete shutdown approach to anything that the Democrats wanted. So they kind of had to go into this a little bit blind, hoping that they would be able to get the information out and maybe that that would sway Republicans and get them on board with the idea of impeaching Trump if he was sort of found conclusively guilty of using American foreign aid to try to pressure a foreign government to pursue a political opponent for the 2020 election. I think some Democrats believe that if they were able to prove that conclusively with all of the witnesses, that they would be able to sway several Republicans to support the idea of ousting Trump. That may have been wishful thinking at the time, especially now that we've seen so many Republicans say that they're okay with what the president did and that he was fine to sort of pressure the Ukrainians at the time that they were dependent on foreign aid. But that was the situation they found themselves in at the beginning. Now, looking back on it, it's sort of easy to say, what was the point of all this? Why did we go through all of this in the first place if the outcome is predetermined? But I think for many Democrats, they didn't know what the outcome might have been. And there was a lot of angst within the party that if you let the president get away with this, you might as well give him a blank check to rewrite the Constitution and do whatever he wants, because there's been so much that's been building up from the Mueller probe and all of the obstruction of justice charges that Democrats wanted to bring to emoluments and various things about campaign finance with hush money payments and, you know, just policy differences with this president. This has really been building up, and if they hadn't done this, there may have been the risk that the Democratic base would have been deflated by the entire process and the fact that President Trump has been able to, in the words of many Democrats, get away with so much that Democrats felt that they had no choice once their moderates were on board with impeaching, that they had to move forward because the base of the party, the liberals within the party, were sort of clamoring for this for quite a while.
We'll continue in a minute with more calls. And Tolu, I want to get your take on Washington's take on the election of Boris Johnson and that big parliamentary majority for the conservatives in the UK today, and if that portends anything for this country. Stay with us, everybody. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.
For African asylum seekers in Japan, the challenges are significant.
Loneliness is a very, very serious problem in Japan. Some neighbors do not even respond to your greetings.
Japan restricts immigration, but due to the global refugee crisis, asylum seekers are increasingly ending up there. Join us for Unsettled, next week on Morning Edition and All Things Considered on 93.9 FM and AM 820 WNYC.
Support for WNYC comes from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping public radio advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. Knight Foundation believes informed and engaged communities are essential for healthy democracy. More at knightfoundation.org. The New York Historical Society, presenting Beyond Midnight, Paul Revere, a new exhibition about the American patriot and silversmith that explores the man behind the Revolutionary War myth. More at nyhistory.org. The Joyce Theater, presenting Dorrance Dance for the Holidays, as Michelle Dorrance and her Tap Dream Team showcase a swingin' take on the Nutcracker and other premieres. December 17th through January 5th. Tickets at joyce.org.
Now you can tune into WNYC without the tuning. All you need is your voice and a smart speaker. Just say, play WNYC, and you'll hear your favorite radio shows. Learn how at wnyc.org/smartspeaker.
Coming right up at noon on All of It, Allison Stewart speaks with director Diane Paulus and composer Tom Kitt about their Broadway production of Jagged Little Pill, featuring music and lyrics by Alanis Morissette. Plus, comedian Chris Garcia talks about Scattered, his WNYC podcast about his search for the truth about his father's life. Coming up at noon on 93.9 FM, AM 820, or ask your smart speaker to play WNYC. We'll be right back. Lehrer on WNYC with Washington Post White House correspondent and CNN political analyst Tolu Olorunipa. Tolu, repercussions in Washington this morning from the surprisingly large majority for Boris Johnson and his party over there?
Yeah, this is a major election result that's sort of reverberating across the Atlantic Ocean, and we're hearing about it here in terms of what it may mean for 2020 in the presidential elections in the U.S. Boris Johnson won a resounding victory in which he's going to be able to pursue his agenda for Brexit, in part because the Labour leader, his main opponent in the race, really did not have the confidence of the people in the UK, and he sort of struggled to meet the moment. And there is a lot of analysis going on in which, you know, people are trying to make the comparisons between Jeremy Corbyn, the Labour leader, and some of the progressive Democrats on the left, saying that if the U.S. Nominates a very leftist progressive candidate to go up against Trump, that we'll see the same results here in the U.S. So the country is not quite ready for a Bernie Sanders or an Elizabeth Warren. Those takes are, you know, in some ways somewhat flawed because they're completely different systems and completely different underlying issues that are driving voters in each country, but they are making a dent in American politics, and there is a sense that, you know, some 2020 candidates are seizing on this, including Joe Biden, who said at a fundraiser yesterday that, you know, we have to look at those election results and realize that if we do the same thing and if we nominate someone who's too far to the left, then President Trump will waltz into a second term because the American people are not on board with some of the most far left policies that are embraced by the most liberal wing of the party. So there is a sense that there could be some backlash and some reverberations from the UK elections here in the U.S.
Charles in Denver, you're on WNYC. Hi from New York, Charles.
Hi. Actually, this was, sorry to change the conversation back to impeachment, but that's what I
Yep, that's good.
Sure. So the reporting in Politico yesterday addressed the fact that there was some insight among Democratic leadership about whether there should be two standalone impeachment articles or articles involving the Mueller report, but it didn't address what I thought might be somewhat pushed forward, which would be incorporating something to the effect of what led to Michael Cohen's incarceration, as well as Stone's indictment, so that at least the Senate would have to deny actual crimes and acquitting Donald Trump. It seems to me that that would be some proposal some Democratic lawmakers might make. There was reporting to that effect, but nothing as granular as that, and I wondered if Tolu could speak to it.
Yeah, interesting. In the Roger Stone case, some of the testimony around that conviction indicated that Trump might have lied under oath in his written responses to Mueller. And in the Michael Cohen case, of course, the accusation by Cohen, who went to prison for lying to Congress about the Trump Tower deal that was underway with respect to Moscow, that Trump directed him to lie to Congress. We never heard about either of those things.
Yeah, it's amazing how many of the president's associates and aides and workers have gone to prison, have been convicted for all manner of different crimes, and how President Trump, for the most part, even within this impeachment process, has not been sort of held accountable or questioned about a lot of those things.
And we've got 20 seconds, by the way, but go ahead.
Yeah, it seems like Democrats wanted to focus specifically on this Ukraine issue, which is a situation that he was on a phone call directly making this case, and Democrats felt that that was their strongest case rather than going into some of the other issues that he's being accused of.
Tolu Olorunipa is a White House correspondent for The Washington Post and a CNN political analyst. Thanks so much for giving us some time today. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.